Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm drawing to a close on a series that I've been doing on spirit, soul, and body. This is my signature teaching, or the one that is the most foundational to me. The Lord used these truths to just totally turn my life around. And I tell you, just teaching them again gets me all excited. This is powerful, powerful stuff. And I know that there's the vast majority of people that feel like that watching the television program is the product in itself. You think, well, I've heard you say all of this. But I promise you, the things that I've been saying are born out of nearly 40 years worth of studying the Word. All you're getting is just a tiny, little bit off of the top of this. The depth of all of the things that I've meditated on, I have spent thousands and thousands and thousands of hours studying the Word and meditating on this. And so I'm saying all of this to say that even though you may have heard every program, I promise you that it would benefit you to take this teaching and to study it and to go over it. And of course, books, CDs, DVDs, this study guide where you can actually go through it, ask questions. It has an answer key in there. It's got CD-ROM in the front where you can actually reproduce this book and share it with other people. But I encourage you to get all of these materials because you need this to be able to get these truths into your life. And if it touches you half as much as it's touched me, boy, it's going to be well worth any amount of effort you can put into it. Remember that this coming Friday is my last day to offer these materials over our television product. This week I've basically been talking about that because of all of the things I've taught on spirit, soul, and body, in your spirit you're already complete, perfect. 1 John 4:17 says, as Jesus is, so are you. What a great truth. And I've just been saying that in a thousand different ways during these 6 weeks. Since you have everything in your spirit, then really the rest of the Christian life comes trying to get your body and your soul to yield and submit to who you are in the spirit. Or a verse that I used in Galatians 5:16 on Monday of this week, it says, if you walk in the spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You, first of all, have to find out that your spirit's been changed. You have to go to the Word of God and get a revelation of what you have. And then you have to dominate and walk by what this says rather than by your five senses. There will be times that your five senses said that you're sick. The Bible says that you're well. Which is going to dominate you? Well, I can't help but this is what I feel. Well, then, according to the Scripture, this is being carnal. You're being dominated by your five senses. And even though you have the resurrection power of God in your spirit, it's not going to dominate you because in your mind you have chosen to say, but this is what I feel. This is real. I'm not saying that what you feel isn't real, but there is more reality than just your five senses are able to discern. In the spirit realm, you are identical to Jesus. And if you could believe that and see it, it would trump what you feel in this physical realm. It would dominate. It would overwhelm the physical realm. And the supernatural life that's on the inside of you would flow out into your physical body. That's walking in the spirit. And so I've been talking about from Romans chapter 6 that you no longer have a dead, sinful nature on the inside of you. Let me bring up some verses that I believe are continually misquoted and misunderstood, misinterpreted and applied out of Romans chapter 7. If I had time, I could just continue teaching through Romans chapter 6, go into chapter 7. It's a constant flow. Paul is saying these same things. But just for time's sake, I only have today and tomorrow left in this series. Let me go down to Romans chapter 7 and look at these verses. And in verse 15, now this is Old English, the King James Bible right here. This is really wordy and sometimes hard to be understood. But you know what? If you take some of the other translations, I think that they are also not only wordy, but they're misleading. I'm going to point out a couple of those things. Here in Romans chapter 7, verse 15, it says, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I." That's just old English for saying, you know, I'm caught in this cycle of doing things that I don't want to do. And the things that I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I find myself doing. In verse 16, it says, "If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me," and then there's this parenthetical phrase that says, "that is, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing." Now, this is very important that he put that parenthetical phrase, because if it wouldn't have had that, if it would have just said, "For I know that in me dwelleth no good thing," then that wouldn't be scripturally correct. Because when you get born again, you have a good thing, that born-again spirit. You have Christ living on the inside of you. So he's saying, in me, in other words, in parentheses, that is in my flesh, excluding the born-again part of me, there dwells no good thing. Now that is an important statement. There are some people that just think that in me dwells no good thing. Well, there's one of two things. Either you aren't born again, and if you aren't born again, well, then it's absolutely true that there is nothing good on the inside of you. And that's offensive to some people, but that's what the Bible says. Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 63, that it's the Spirit that quickens or makes alive. The flesh profits nothing. It didn't say it profits a little. It profits some. It says it profits nothing. And I believe that that's a relative statement. In comparison to our spirit, the Spirit is the dynamo. It's the life-giving force. It's the power of God. It's the breath of God. God formed Adam and Eve, and there was a physical body present, but it wasn't until He breathed into them, put spirit into them, that that body came alive. And then in James chapter 2, verse 26, it says, "As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead." So the spirit entering into man is what gave them life. When the spirit leaves is when life leaves. The Spirit is the part that quickens and makes alive. It's the life-giving force. This body is just, in a sense, it's like a suit. It's like a coat. You know, right now, you're looking at my clothes, but these clothes aren't me. They're just clothing me. My physical body is not the real me. It is just clothing the real me, the spiritual being on the inside. And prior to my salvation, my spiritual being was a dead spirit. So without Christ, if you aren't born again, then you are dead in spirit, soul, and body. Your body may still be alive. You may still be functioning, breathing, but you're dead. You're separated from God. You are living a substandard life from what God created man to be. But if you've been born again, then in your spirit, it is completely alive. So this is very significant that he said, "I know that in me," parentheses, "that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." That wouldn't have been true if he hadn't put that parenthetical phrase in there. "For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not." And he goes on and just says this same thing over and over, that I want to do good, but I can't do it. I find this law in my members that's drawing me back into sin. Let me just cut through the chase, because again, I've only got a limited time on our program here, and summarize this. And if you'll go back and study it, I believe that you can find this. That what he's saying is, some people interpret this as saying that here's the Apostle Paul towards the end of his ministry. The book of Romans was one of the last books that he wrote, and so it was towards the end of his ministry. And some people say that here is the great Apostle Paul that wrote half of the New Testament, still struggling and saying that, "I'm trying to live a godly life, but I'm failing and I'm not doing it." And they basically use this as a stamp of approval on the fact that you can never live a victorious Christian life. You just try, but you fail. Even here's the Apostle Paul saying, "The good that I want to do, I can't do." Now, you know what? To me, that's really hard to embrace, because the Apostle Paul also said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." Here's an example. Do what I do. A person who is living in the sin and the failure that's described here in Romans chapter 7, to me, is not the kind of person that you want to follow his actions. Nope, I don't think that this is truly descriptive. So then some people say, well, it's prior to his being born again. Before he was born again, this is the way he was described. But then that would lead somebody to think that that means that if you still have this struggle after you're a Christian, then you weren't truly born again. And yet you can see even in born-again Christians that there is still this struggle with sometimes doing the right thing. And it seems like it's easier to do the wrong thing than it is to do the right thing. You know, here's a third option that I believe is the way to interpret this. This isn't Paul describing the defeated life that every Christian is doomed to, as most people interpret it. I don't believe that this is describing a person who is without the Lord only. I believe what this is describing is just the inability of any person to live the victorious, Spirit-filled Christian life that the Bible advocates in the power of your flesh, in your own ability. And it doesn't matter if you're saved or if you're lost. It's impossible to live up to the standard. For instance, Jesus said that when somebody smites you on one cheek, turn to him the other also. Did you know that that's not just difficult? That's impossible to do unless God has changed your nature. If you aren't born again, if your nature isn't changed, then when people insult you and lie about you and criticize you and come against you and push your buttons and do all of these things, did you know sinful human nature just is going to rise up and cause you to defend yourself and fight back and do something? It's just a, you know, self-preservation, that defense mechanism. It's just the nature of a fallen human being that if you're hurt, you hurt them back. And yet Jesus said that when somebody hurts you, turn the other cheek and let them hurt that one too. If they take you to law and if they take away your coat, give them the overcoat too. Give them more than what they've asked for. Don't resist evil, but overcome evil with good. That is not only difficult, that's impossible for the human nature, a natural person to do that. The Christian life isn't just difficult, it's impossible in the natural. You must be born again and you must get a new human nature. And I believe that what Paul is describing is not himself as a mature Christian still up and down like a yo-yo living this defeated life. I don't think that he's talking about just before he got born again, this is the way he was. I believe it's just saying that if you were to talk about me without my spirit, just in the flesh, then I'm incapable of doing the things that I'm doing. You know, right now, what I'm doing on television, my nature, my individual personality, I'm a timid, backward, shy person. Some of you may have trouble believing that. But back before the Lord touched my life, I was an introvert. I couldn't look at a person in the face. I mean, I literally would just freak out having to stand in front of people and do stuff. I'm not a self-asserting type of person. And yet, Jesus changed my nature. And now I'm doing something that was absolutely impossible. There is no way I could have ever spoken to millions of people on television. I speak to thousands of people in meetings. There's no way I could do that. You know what? God changed me. There's a difference. I'm doing something that it's impossible for me to do in my natural self. And some people think, well, you've changed. Really? Not really. Did you know if you were to take, somehow or another, if you could separate my knowledge about what Jesus has done for me and the way that I've renewed my mind, and if you were to just go by my natural tendencies, did you know still I'm not a self-asserting type of person. I'm not the kind that when you buy something and if somebody didn't perform good or something, I wouldn't go back and demand and call the manager in and fight for this. I might mention it, and if they were willing and just to accommodate me, then I'd receive it. But I'm not going to fight for that kind of stuff. I just got other things to do that are more important. I am not the kind that asserts myself and fights for things. That's my normal tendency. And yet God has changed this because I'm a new person on the inside. And when it comes to spiritual things, man, I'll fight the devil toe to toe. I've gone to head with demons. I've done all kinds of things. God has changed my nature. But just by my human nature, if I was abandoned to only myself, I wouldn't be able to do any of the stuff that I'm doing. I'm doing things that are physically impossible for me. Here's another way of saying this. Romans chapter 7 describes this existence where you're trying to do good, but you can't do it. The things that you don't want to do, you do. The things you do want to do, you don't do those. And it describes this terrible plight. Then into Romans chapter 8, it starts talking about this victory. Romans chapter 8 is one of the most victorious chapters in the Bible. And it just talks about that God always causes us to triumph. There is no condemnation to us. That we are joint heirs and just nothing can separate us from the love of God. Romans chapter 8 is the exact opposite of Romans chapter 7. And notice this, that in Romans chapter 7, there's only one verse where the word spirit is used. And it isn't talking about like spirit, soul, and body. It's talking about a mental disposition, an attitude. The word spirit can also be used that way. So that's used one time, but it's not even referring to the born-again spirit or the Holy Spirit. In contrast, the word spirit is used 27 times in Romans chapter 8, and it's full of victory. So here's another way of summarizing this, that Romans chapter 7 is describing a person trying to live for God out of their human ability without this born-again spirit or the influence of the Holy Spirit. But Romans chapter 8 is describing the absolute total victory that comes when a person realizes that they've been changed on the nature level and that they now have the Spirit of God on the inside of them. And it's describing this absolute total victory. Boy, that's powerful. That is powerful. This is describing that, see, you've got to understand that you've been changed in your nature. You're a new person. And if you could ever renew your mind to that, it would become a self-fulfilling prophecy. Right now, the reason many of you fail in areas of sin or either attitudes or, you know, just any type of failure, whether it's personality, actions, whatever, the reason many of you fail is because you see yourself as a failure. You see yourself as a loser. And it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. And you may get out there and try, but you're eventually going to fail because that's what you really believe. When you pray for healing, you see yourself sick. There are some of you that see yourself dying. You don't see yourself as having the resurrection power of God. You're praying for it. You're desiring it. You long for it. You're doing everything that you know to get it, but you don't see yourself well. You see yourself sick and dying. And it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23:7. And you will become the way you think. You desire it, but you don't see it. But see, if you could ever understand that in the spirit level, you are transformed, you are a brand new person, that you are the healed that Satan is trying to steal your healing from. If you could see that, then it would become a self-fulfilling prophecy as you think in your heart. That's the way that you would be. You would find out that healing would begin to manifest. Joy and peace and victory, hope, encouragement would manifest instead of all of the discouragement and depression. I tell you, this is radical stuff. See, I'm not trying to pray and ask God to come and give me victory. I believe that God has already placed all of that victory on the inside of me. And as I see who I am and what I have in Christ, then it influences my attitudes, my thinking, and my experience changes as a byproduct of knowing some things. And this is what I'm trying to get across, is that in the Spirit, you've already got it all. All you need to do is renew your mind. That's the way that you draw this out. That's the way that you release this supernatural life of God that has been placed inside of every true born-again believer. You release it by the way you think. If you aren't experiencing absolute victory, if you aren't a world overcomer, I can guarantee you your thinking is messed up. Again, I go back to a verse I've already used, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. It says, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. If you don't have all things that are available through Christ working in you right now, then you've got a knowledge problem. Somewhere you don't understand the truth or you don't understand the depth of it. Are many things from God are interrelated. You may have a truth over here that is God's will for you to be healed, but over here you don't understand that James chapter 3, verse 16 says, where envy and strife is, there's confusion in every evil work. You've got a revelation on healing, but you're just as angry and bitter and upset, and you are chasing the sickness out the front door and allowing the devil to come in the back door, the side doors, the windows, everywhere else through all of the other open doors. You don't understand. You may have a revelation on healing, but you don't understand about love over here. Galatians 5:6 says, faith works by love. So a lot of the things that we receive from God are interdependent upon other truths, and we have to have these truths together. But boy, I tell you, the thing that just opened up my eyes to all of this is understanding that in the Spirit, I already have this. And it's not a matter of me getting God to do something. It's a matter of me getting a revelation of what I've already got. And as you do that, well, then this frustrating life of trying to serve God through your own effort in Romans chapter 7 gives place, and in Romans chapter 8 there is this absolute total victory that you have because you are now not operating out of your flesh, but it's out of the Spirit. Again, I go back to a verse that I started with this week in Galatians chapter 5, and this verse 16 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you would find out these things that I've been talking about who you are in Christ, and if you would begin to dwell on that and walk in that, control yourself. Act like what the Word says is true. When somebody spits in your face, instead of giving place to your natural feelings and the way that that old nature programmed your flesh, instead, sit here and turn the other cheek. Turn around and bless the other person. Instead of retaliating, love them. And you know what? When you begin to start acting that way, then you'll find out that this old flesh will just fall away. You know, one of the ways that I've tried to describe that this week is to say that your mind was programmed. It's similar to a computer, and it functions off of that programming. We've all been programmed by that sinful, fallen nature how to act. We need to change the programming and start using our new nature's programming that tells us to turn the other cheek, to walk in love, to rejoice when we don't feel it, to bless the Lord always. And see, as you start using that new programming, then on my computer, you know, I've got all of these icons on my screen. And after a while, if you don't use some of those icons, you'll have a little message pop up and says, there are unused icons. Would you like to delete them? Well, if you quit going by the old thinking and just exerting yourself, after a while, if you don't use them, you know what? You can delete that stuff. Amen. It's like you can get it out. And some people will look at you and think it's hard to believe that you were ever this bitter person, that you were this drug addict, that you were this person that committed adultery, because you can literally get to where your new nature is dominating and controlling you.
Many of you may feel a desire to participate financially in a meaningful way. We'd like to give you the opportunity to invest yourself in building the lives of Charis Bible College world changers through the Foundation Builders Program. This special group of ministry partners is joining hands financially with Andrew and Jamie to make this vision a reality. Call, write, or go to our website to become a partner today. And see the virtual tour of the new Charis Bible College campus online at www.awmi.net.
John chapter 14, verse 1. The very first thing that Jesus told his disciples, he says, let not your heart be troubled.
When I looked into his face, I saw his eyes flittering. And so I yelled at him and I says, you are not going to leave me.
Next thing I know, I'm down in emergency room at the stroke center in Harris Methodist in Fort Worth.
One third of Alan's brain had not received blood.
The MRI scan of the brain showed a massive stroke.
They told me he was paralyzed on the left side. They told me that he could not swallow. They told me he could not speak.
They were saying he's going to need a stomach tube to be fed the rest of his life.
We were not very optimistic about the outcome.
We had spent that time in Christian survival. We had spent that time in harnessing your emotions. And I was harnessing my emotions. I was completely under control. And that's what disturbed the doctors the most. They were not going to speak death over him, because his life was in the balance. And I knew the truth, and the truth was going to set him free. And I knew it. I knew it would set complete. It would set everything free.
Log on to awmi.net. Look to the left. Click on Healing Testimonies. And take a healing journey with Alan and Debbie Moore.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Chicago, Illinois this week for a Gospel Truth Seminar August 4th through the 6th, in Tinley Park, Illinois, Sunday, August 7th, in the New England area for a Gospel Truth Seminar August 25th through the 27th, and in Charlotte, North Carolina for the Freedom Christian Center Camp Meeting September 11th through the 16th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net. Andrew's complete teaching series titled Spirit, Soul, and Body is available on either CD or DVD as seen on our daily TV program. Each is offered for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify the CD or DVD when you order. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. Or if you prefer, Spirit, Soul, and Body is available in book form when you send a gift of any amount. A Spanish version is also available. You can also get this teaching in a companion study guide for a gift of $35 or more. The fourth audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you contact us. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fourth CD titled The Spirit Versus the Flesh, free of charge. A condensed version of Spirit, Soul, and Body is also included in Andrew's latest book titled Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword. This valuable book contains abbreviated versions of 16 of Andrew's most foundational teachings. It's available for a gift of any amount when you contact us. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.